We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
Verse 1 of 2 Kings. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adda of Boshka. And I know I didn't pronounce those right. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And he walked in all the ways of David his father, and turned not aside on the right hand or on the left hand. Jump down to verse 13. Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all of Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers has not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. Verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read. Verse 17. Because thou hast forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands, therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2. For all those things that my hands made, and those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit. And the last portion is what I want to preach on. And trembleth at my word. And trembleth at my word. Now I want to preach this morning by the help of the Lord, using both of those two references of Scripture. If you want to hold your hand there in those places, we want to use some more Scripture during the message. But I want to use the text this morning, trembling at the word of God. Trembling at the word of God. At the time when Josiah was king, he was the king of the only nation on earth that worshiped Jehovah God. Now, can you imagine being just one country that worshiped the true God? Only one country at that time worshiped Jehovah God. And so the problem was, though, that they had a form of religion, but nobody had read what the Bible had. Nobody had read the book. The book, as you've seen there in the Scripture, the book of the law had been lost. And so they worshiped Jehovah God, but they had no clue to who that Jehovah God was. But here was a leader that had a desire to follow the Lord. King Josiah got a desire to follow the Lord. He saw the house of God was in despair. So he helped provide the money and the boost, I guess, to get the priest to go down and clean up the house of God. And while they were working there, an amazing thing happened. They found the book of the law, and that's, to me, is very hard, I guess, to imagine. But as they read the Bible or the book of the law, they were shocked. And they said, we need to show this book to the king. He needs to see this. And so they went to see Josiah. And they said, King Josiah, we were doing just exactly what you told us to do. And we found the book of the law. And we think that you need to read this book. And then as they read the book of the law to the king, I think probably if you read this and study this and run reference, I believe you'll find that they were probably reading from the book of Deuteronomy. But anyway, he was not preaching to the king. He was simply reading. And the king knew the condition of Israel. He knew very well the conditions of Israel. He knew Israel's history, and he knew Israel's problem. And he knew that all that the nation had been divided as part of God's judgment upon his people. And then he heard verses about God's blessings and God's curses. Now he said, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods, which ye have not known." Deuteronomy 11, 26 through 28. Chapter 28 also has a list of curses that God has promised will be fulfilled if they walk contrary to his word. Look what verse 20 says. It says, "The Lord shall send upon thee curses, for vexations and rebuke, and all that they seeth thy hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, until thou perish quickly, because of the weakness of thy doing, whereby they have forsaken me." Boy, the list of curses and their results go on all the way down through verse 68. God was saying, "Because you have forsaken me, I'm going to destroy you." And King Josiah began to weep. Boy, that broke King Josiah's heart. And he rent his clothes, and because he knew that God, who had filled his word in the past, would fulfill it again, and that meant judgment upon the nation of Israel. And so he said, "I want you men to go and find out from the Lord what he's going to do." And the Bible says they came back, and they said to the king, they said, "He said he's going to complete exactly what he said he would, but listen what he's saying." But he said, the Lord said, "Because Josiah, because you have humbled yourself and wept and rent your garments, God said that he would not do it in your day. He said he postponed it until you're gone so you don't have to see it." Now that's amazing to me. That's very amazing. Why would God give him that promise? Because, and the very reason is, it's because that God always keeps his word. Because he said in the text verse that I read here in Isaiah 66:2, "For all those things thy hands made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look." Here's who God is pleased with. "Even to him that is poor and of contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." Josiah heard what God had promised. He knew the judgment was due, and he trembled at God's word. God looked at Josiah, and this is what he's saying. "There is the heart that I'm looking for. There is the kind of a heart that I'm looking for. I'm looking for someone that will hear my word, and when they hear my word, they will tremble at it." He said, "That's the kind of a man that I'm looking for." And I want to ask you the question this morning. And God, as the Holy Spirit, is asking me the question. He's asking all of us the question here this morning. Nobody's exempt, no matter what your age is. But when was the last time you trembled at the Word of God? When was the last time that you heard something from the Word of God that actually made you tremble? Because you knew how serious that it was. In other words, I just look at this. Too often we think that because we're fundamental Bible-believing Christians, that God would have no one left if he didn't have us, and we listen to some of the greatest preachers that America has ever produced, and we sit in judgment on the Word of God instead of allowing God's Word set in judgment on us. Now that's what's going on in this world today. And so, when a preacher is preaching, as I am this morning, instead of listening to the preacher to hear what God has to say, most of the time the average person is sitting there trying to decide whether or not they like his style of preaching, or whether or not he uses some kind of a catchword that might put him into some kind of particular denomination. But I asked you, when was the last time that you trembled at the word of God. I know there's this lovey-dovey kind of preaching that's going on, where a man preaches about everything positive. And I know that's happening. I know that in some places, churches put up on billboards, and they say something like this: God is not mad at you for any reason. But we know that the Bible says in Psalm 7:11, the Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. God is angry with the wicked every day. Look what Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 9:10 said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Psalms 89:7 says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. I fear that too many of our churches, that God is not feared. Do you hear what I'm saying? Amen. I believe in too many of our churches today, and among too many professing Christians, God is not feared. I've heard people say, why in the world does people come to church on Sunday and sing in the choir and lift up their hands and everything and go out and live like the devil during the week? And I say the reason of that is they don't fear God. There's no fear of God about a person like that. We come in and we think we look right. We think we walk right. We think we sing the right kind of hymns. And we know how to do things, so we're okay. Our hearts may be dirty with sin, but we think all those outward things are going to get us by. But I want you to know something. They will not get you by. You better be concerned about the condition of your heart. And so when was the last time that you trembled at the Word of God? When was the last time you heard the Word of God and you trembled? God is not the one who has changed. We Christians think sometimes God has changed, but His Word says He has not changed, nor will He ever change. Malachi 3:6, I'm the Lord, I change not. James 1:17, the Father with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of a turning. Hebrews 11:13-8 said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. The way God looks at His Word ought to make us tremble. I want to just give you some examples in the Word of God that people heard the Word of God and they knew what God expected and they knew what God told them to do, and they ignored that and they disobeyed that, and see what God did to them. And first of all, I want to show you probably what I would call the stick pickers' disobedience. You say, what in the world is that? If you'll look over in the book of Numbers chapter 15, in verse 32 through verse 34, God had given Israel the Ten Commandments. And one of those commandments said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And that's found in Exodus 28. And they were to do no work on the Sabbath day. And here in Numbers chapter 15, verse 32 through verse 34, and while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. And they put him in ward because it was not declared what should be done to him. Now stop right there. Hold your finger there. I want to read verse 35 in a minute. The Bible doesn't say whether he was gathering sticks to build a house or whether he was just cleaning up debris from his yard. But we would ask, why are you doing that? But that's not the point to God. When God says not to do something, He expects us to obey Him without questioning Him. When God says not to do something, we don't question Him. And God had not told Aaron or Moses what to do to someone who disobeyed that commandment, so they held on to him until God spoke. Verse 35 in that chapter, God speaks, and the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And you would say, mister, what did you learn anything from that? And I believe that man would say, yes. I learned something, that God means exactly what He says. He means it strictly, and he means it severely. And none of this is a game with God. He means business. And I want you to understand that it's very, very serious. And I want you to understand, that while the man of God is preaching, or you're hearing the Word of God written, or you're sitting reading the Word of God yourself, that God is very serious about His Word and what He says. Because I want you to know that people's eternal destiny hangs in the balance of whether they obey the Word of God or not. But I want you to know, remember that this is the God who destroyed the entire world with a flood. When the world walked contrary to Him and Noah and his family told Him ain't, we're all that were saved. God is serious about what He says. God is very, very serious. This preacher's not just up here just to take up a time slot. This preacher is up here sharing the Word of God with you that God is very, very serious about. I want you to see Moses' disobedience after the Israelites were proven their Baptist heritage. And you say, what do you mean, proven their Baptist heritage? Well, they proved that by complaining all the time. And so the children of Israel were complaining. And the Lord said to Moses, Numbers 20, 7 and 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together thou, and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. And ye shall give forth this his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their hearts drink. Now God did not exactly tell Moses not to smite the rock. That's the excuse that most Christians uses. You didn't tell me that I couldn't do that. Well, you didn't really tell me that I couldn't do that. But read what happened in 9-11. In verse 9 through 11. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. My, the mercy of God there. Moses is disobeying God, and God is still giving them water. What grace. What grace of God. Moses had disobeyed, but still God was giving them water. Verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Moses had led the children of Israel in the wilderness for a total of 40 years. Just think about all that he had to put up with, trying to lead 2 million people around in the wilderness. Think of how he always stood up for God during those 40 years. If Moses hadn't have prayed for them when they had created the golden cave, they would have been destroyed. Yet God said, Moses, you didn't glorify me. You hit the rock. Moses, so you're not going into the promised land. And we would say, Moses, did you learn anything from that? And I think Moses would say, yes. God means exactly what he says. He means it strictly. He means it severely. And then you remember the story about David and Uzzah's disobedience. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, David was going to bring the ark of God up into the city of David. And everybody was so excited. God had told the children of Israel to run long staves through the golden rings on the four corner of the ark. And whenever that was going to be moved, that the priests were to put the staves on their shoulder to bear the ark. And God had told them if anyone ever touched the ark, he would die. But here was David. Didn't do it the way that God said. David had it put on a new cart. And it was being pulled by some oxen. David was leading the procession and everybody was excited. Another word, but on the way to the city of David, the ox stumbled. And the ark shook and began to rock and was in danger of falling off the ground. Uzzah was walking beside the cart and he reached up his hand to keep the ark from falling to the ground. And when he touched the ark, God killed him. The singing stopped. The dancing stopped. Uzzah, did you learn anything from that? Yes, God means exactly what he says. He means it strictly. He means it severely. There's no good reason ever to disobey God. Did you hear what I said? There's never a good reason to disobey God. That sounds like a good reason there. Keep the ark from falling on the ground. Look like that would be a good reason to disobey what God said. But he disobeyed God, and when he did that, God killed him. There's never a good reason to disobey God's word. When have you ever trembled at the Word of God? Let me give you another, and I'm probably going to preach about these two tonight, but let me just bring them in case you're sitting there saying, that's all Old Testament, preacher. That's all under the law. That don't apply to me. I know that's what the devil would whisper to you. But remember Ananias and Sapphira, disobedience. In other words, weren't Ananias and his wife Sapphira, weren't they under grace? Absolutely. Their sin wasn't that they gave only part of their money. The sin was that they lied and said they were giving it all. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Acts 5:3. Ananias dropped over dead and his servants carried him out. 3 hours later, his wife, not knowing what had happened to her husband, also lied about giving all the money to the Lord, and God killed her. And she had to be carried out. Ananias and Sapphira, did you learn anything? Did you learn anything? And I believe they would say, yes. God means exactly what he says. He means it strictly. He means it severely. And the Lord's Supper, another New Testament. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 27 through verse 30. The Lord gives the warning concerning the Lord's Supper. He says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now listen to this, verse 30. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, or many have died. Many in the church at that time had died. Because when they took the Lord's Supper, which represents the Lord's sinless body and his sinless blood, they did so with sin in their lives. They hadn't gotten right with God before they took the Lord's Supper. Because of their disobedience, the Bible said many of them died. Did they learn anything? Yes, they learned that God means exactly what he says. He says, don't take of the Lord's Supper with sin in your heart. Examine yourself and make sure that there's nothing in your life. And if they are, repent of it and get clean before God. Because if you eat unworthily, you're eating and drinking damnation to your soul. Disobedience of the church at Ephesus. The Lord said to the church in Revelations 2, 4, and 5, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, repent, and do thy first work, else I come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Even though the church at Ephesus was doctrinally straight, they were doctrinally sound. And even though they were a hard-working church, God was angry with them because they'd left their first love. He said, I'll take your candlestick out. He said, I don't need people to serve me just out of duty. I don't need people to serve me in coldness. I want people to serve me because they love me. Did you hear what I'm saying? God said, I want people to serve me because they left me. And he says there that the 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose hearts is perfect toward him. God wants people to serve him whose hearts are perfect toward him. Deuteronomy 6:5, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. God wants people who serve him to love him. When was the last time that you trembled at the word of God? Our disobedience. The Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about the word of God. He says in Matthew 5:17-19, think not I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments. Now I want you to look at that. These least commandments. And shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now there's not a Bible preacher anywhere in our country that hasn't had people come up to him and complain and say, you're always preaching on the little things. Why in the world are you always preaching on the little things? Well, my answer would be to people like that, I don't think that I have any murderers here in this church. I don't think I have any bank robbers here in this church. I don't think I have any terrorists here in this church. So I preach about a lot of little things because I believe that that's what most of my people do. Is that what we're guilty of, is the little things. Why would I get up here and preach about murder? We don't have any here. But anyway, what are these least commandments? What have you ever asked yourself, what is that? I thought God always said sin was sin and there's no difference and all those kinds of things. What in the world is the least commandment? Did you ever notice that? And the Lord never once told us what the least commandments was, or I could ever figure out in the Bible. But when I was studying this, I think I figured that out. I believe the Holy Spirit showed me what the least commandments is. And the least commandment to any particular person are the ones that that person breaks the most. That's what the least commandments is. The one that person breaks the most.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at uniontemplefwb.org.